Well, giving thanks. Giving thanks. I've changed the theme just a little bit. The intent is still there, but I have changed it to ask the question, giving thanks, what is in the offering? And as I was thinking about this message, several thoughts come to my mind. One is that how often do we take time to be thankful for that which has happened in the day? I've heard this from a number of sources, and they always say, you know what, it's a good thing to take time and at the end of the day, write down at least five things that you are thankful for. Well, I try doing that, and I try getting involved for maybe for 3 or 4 days, and then it kind of slips away, right? But imagine what it would be like if we could, for a few minutes, just to think of, what are we thankful for? Perhaps we are thankful for the small things, the things that are so we can just gloss over if we don't remember them. Perhaps it was a phone call that somebody gave that really gave a special spark to the day. Or perhaps it was somebody thought of you and sent you a card of thanks. Or perhaps it was, well, when I grew up in India, one of the things that I always waited for was a letter from home. You know, and that was a place of thankfulness. Like, okay, so my parents still know. I was in a boarding in northern India, and my parents sent me a letter every week. And I'm sure they were waiting for a letter every week to go back to them. The letters that I sent were usually a paragraph and, you know, very short. But the letters I got from home were special. And those were always a special part of my life growing up. But maybe in your week, what has been special for you today? Sometimes we think of what is special. I remember years ago I was working at Catholic Social Services in Edmonton, and I was in the building, and the building was a building that had other programs in it. So the counseling wasn't only the part of the building wasn't just set aside for counseling. There were immigrant services. There was other kinds of services that were available at that point. And so we had a lunch place that we could go and warm up our food. And this one day I went in and I brought some spaghetti from leftover spaghetti, and I was warming it up. And as I was warming it up, I noticed this other man there. And he was a man that had a few handicaps. So he would come in and he would talk about, you know, how important it was that he was going to write this article for the agency paper, you know, and he would talk about this and he would talk about other things. And so as I brought this spaghetti out of the microwave and I set it down, his eyes just went big like this. And I was wondering, okay, I can see. And I said, would you like some spaghetti? And he said, oh, yes, I would. And so I went and got a plate, and I shoved off over half of the spaghetti onto his plate, and he just downed it like that. And you know, that act was not only for his sake, it was also for my sake. There was something special in the offering as I gave it to him, as he enjoyed that blessing. And so today we want to look at the theme very briefly in three segments. And so we're dividing the worship service in three segments today. And the first part is, what is in the offering looking back? And this is really important when we think of what is in the offering looking back. So the scripture this morning is from Deuteronomy 26, 1 to 11, and the children of Israel, they were in the desert, in the wilderness, and this was one of the instructions that they were to fulfill when they went into the promised land. And so when they went into the promised land, and they entered the land, and it's interesting when you think of that, when they entered the land, was it their land? Was it the person's land? Was it God's land? Whose land was it? And that's an important thought to just keep in your mind. And so they were to take the first fruits of all that they had, and I imagine it would be when harvest time came, and they would put it into a basket. And they go to this place of worship, and that place had not been defined yet. And so they said it says that, when the Lord your God, when you go there, he'll show you where to go with this kind of worship, this thank offering. And offer the basket to the priest who will put this on the altar. And so the priest is the one who is mediating here. And this offering was given to the priest, but then there were some words that accompanied it. And think of this for a moment. It's not just the basket of the first fruits of grain, of fruit, of different things that came out of the garden. It had something to say about their journey. Our father was a wandering Aramean. And this probably speaks of Jacob going from Canaan. Remember how Joseph invited his father into the land of Egypt. And when they went to Egypt, they became a great and powerful nation. And so this was also, they're recalling their journey. And then Egypt, all of a sudden, and this is a summary, was a place of suffering and, in a sense, loss of identity. And the Egyptians mistreated us. The Egyptians made us suffer. They subjected us to harsh labor. And then they cried to God for deliverance. And it's from this deliverance that we see that they acknowledge that God heard their suffering. And God saw their misery, and God saw how much toil they put in, and God saw their oppression. And so along with this statement was that element that they had to acknowledge this suffering and this pain. And then they come to the next part where God delivers them with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, with great terror and great signs of wonder. And then God gave them this land flowing with milk and honey. And so the basket is about the first fruits of the soil the Lord had given them. So let me ask you, what's in the offering? What's in the offering? And if you follow their journey, you would say that in this offering is the story of their salvation. They lived in Egypt. They were prospering. They had peace. They had prosperity. And then they were subject to slavery and harsh labor in Egypt. And they cried out to the Lord. And God's delivered them from slavery and brought them into the promised land. And so you see this, that there is that sense of, even if you go to creation, you see that in creation, there was shalom, there was prosperity, there was peace, there was a place where everything seemed to function together really well. And then Adam and Eve sinned, and then through the journey, the covenant, and so on, and it's leading to the New Testament. But here is a small example of that journey. Now, it's interesting to me that often we think of sin as that which is inherent in us. And truly, all of us struggle with sin. All of us struggle with the effects of sin and so on. But here, the sin is what they have done to the people. Okay, so the children of Israel were in Egypt, and the sin was that they were treated in slavery. They were enslaved. They were oppressed. They were put into harsh labor. And so it's interesting to note that this sin that God is referring to here is the sin of oppression, and God had to deliver them out of that. In today's world, I think there are a lot of places where people are sinned against. Those of you who have come through the journey from Russia to Canada, you could affirm that. Yes, we've been sinned against. Our father was taken out during the night, and we had no idea where we come. The journey that you involved in coming all the way from the Ukraine to Germany and then to Canada was not an easy journey. There's a lot of suffering there. And so this is a sin of oppression. And so we also have from that deliverance, right? And that is what this message is about. So when we think, what is in the offering? We recognize there's salvation and there's deliverance. But there's something else. There's a blessing. There's a blessing. The blessing is to the family who is making the offering. And that's so important. The blessing is to the priest who is interceding. You can imagine here's a priest and all this, these first fruits are coming. And he might say, wow, this is amazing. This is a blessing that comes from God. And there's a blessing to the foreigner. Ah, that's interesting. The blessing to the foreigner. You know, I just, as I have come to know you, I know that many of you were not born in Canada. I was not born in Canada. And we are like foreigners here, right? We are foreigners here, and people have accepted us, welcomed us here. And the power of this blessing is so important because the people of Israel were to know that they were a foreigner in the land. And they were to never forget that they were foreigners, and so how they treated foreigners was very, very significant and important. It's part of the blessing. And so the foreigners were blessed as they brought this blessing to the Lord. So I'm going to pick up another theme. We'll have a little more of worship here, singing and sharing, and then I'll pick up the next part of the theme. In John chapter 6, as we have just heard, Christ has come down from heaven. One of the themes that comes over and over again in the Gospel of John is that Christ comes down, has come down. He says, I've come down from heaven to do my Father's will. And so that's an important element as we think of Christ, of the sacrifice, of what's in the offering. Christ is offering himself to humanity in a profound way. And he says, in this passage, he says, I am the bread of life. And there's so much in that phrase, isn't there? I am the bread of life. What would life be like if we didn't have something to eat consistently and constantly? And Jesus says, I am like that. I am the bread of life. As you partake in me, and he goes even further, he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. So the significance of this offering is to whoever believes. Whoever believes will never go hungry or thirsty. Whoever believes who will look to the Son will have eternal life and will be raised up on the last day. And then he says, eating the flesh and the blood of Jesus, whoever eats the flesh and blood of Jesus enters into eternal life. And now, this is all metaphors, right? But the metaphor does speak really profoundly. And whoever feeds on this bread and blood will live forever. And this is like we're taking an infusion. We're infusing the blood transfer, that Christ, in a sense, is alive in our lives, that we are nourished by his life because he dwells within us. And so we want to ask the question again, what is in the offering? And here we have the story of salvation. All right? So Christ is in total unity with his Father and Spirit in heaven. We don't understand what all that means, but we believe in a triune God, a God who is Father, Son, and Spirit, who is in community, total community, in community that they can understand and they make decisions. And yet there's a distinctness between the three, in the three persons. They have one God, but three persons. And then Christ coming to and loving the world that has gone its own way. And he is presenting the kingdom of God in his life. This is the kingdom of God that Christ is presenting. And God's deliverance comes through from delivers us from sin and by the blood and the body of Christ on the cross. And this is so significant, because without this, we don't understand forgiveness. Without this, we don't understand that God has sacrificed in Christ for us. And then as we participate, eternal life starts when we open our lives and our hearts to Jesus, and it starts and it goes on to eternity. Eternal life is not just something that we get a ticket for and eventually we'll get there. Eternal life is something we start right now as we participate in and understand as we make true this life in Jesus. And so we want to ask the question, the life of Jesus is really in this offering, right? Without the life of Jesus, there is no offering. And it is a blessing. In Jesus, we have been invited to participate as persons in the kingdom of God. In Jesus, we have the resources to live our life infused by him, by his body and his blood, which is not a temporary, but rather leads to eternal life. And so we want to participate in this offering together here today. Today we are invited to the communion table to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. God has heard our cry of being in bondage. God has heard our cry of struggling with anxiety. God has heard our cry of those things that are addictions to slavery, slavery to addictions, and so on. And God has come near in Christ, so close that he lived among us, and he said, follow me. And this is the life that Jesus offers us. This is participating in his offering. What is in the offering? And Jesus offers his life so that we can participate in this offering. And he says, and Paul says, to follow Jesus to the cross is a time of examination. In 1 Corinthians 11:27, he says, so then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And sometimes we can get confused of what examination means. Certainly it means, you know, we need to have right relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's given here. But I think we need to examine, you know, we all of us end up in the mess of life in some way. And rather than trying to organize this mess and to get out of it, I think an examination could be, is Jesus entering the mess with us? Because the idea is not that the mess get resolved, but the idea is that we get to know God who meets us in the mess of life. And that's the important part of the examination. Is Jesus with us in our mess of life? Is he with us in those struggles of anxiety? Is he with us in our suffering as we have physical or maybe mental health suffering? Is Jesus with us? Yes, he is. And that part of the examination is so important, that Jesus is with us in this suffering. And so at this time, I'd like to just change the front here a little bit, and we will begin the part of the Lord's Supper here.